Let's go, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 13. 1 Kings, chapter 13. And we'll read a pretty good portion of that chapter tonight. But before I do, I want to give you a report from one of our missionaries. These are the Millers down in Mexico. And he starts out by saying, "The last day I was in Washington State with my son, Stephen, for my dad's funeral, I was able to witness to Brandy, the lady who lived with my father for the past 17 years. Like Dad, she is never interested in a relationship with God. After Dad passed away, she is very sad. Steve and I went to retrieve a few of Dad's possessions before flying back to Mexico, and I chose this last moment to speak to her about her soul. I reminded her about how my father had accepted Christ just a few weeks before he died. She broke down in tears and said she was tired of running and finally felt ready to get saved. So praise the Lord, she is born again." And so we rejoice with him. He said, "Last Sunday we closed out the month of April with Kids Day, a tradition unique to Latin America. We had a great attendance of 97 with about 30 children up to 13 years old. Said he preached to the adults and the parents and the teens, and Ruth taught the children. Afterwards, we had all kinds of stuff," he said, "and of course, a huge pinata. The best of all, 6 children accepted Christ as their Savior." So we thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for what God's doing and how he's using the missionaries that we help support. And just keep giving to missions, all right? Keep giving to missions. All right, 1 Kings 13, let's begin, if you will, in verse 1. Now, we've read part of this, and so since we have, we'll read it again, all right? "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto him, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then said he unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. Now, we're going to leave off reading the Word of God right there. I believe that the Bible is filled with some of the most interesting stories to be found anywhere in any book. And when you get in the Word of God, you find a lot of things. And this is one example. Here was a man of God. God had spoken to him. He had obeyed the voice of the Lord. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do. He knew how the Lord wanted him to do it. He knew all of those things, and he had done it. So what in the world happened? What in the world happened to him? Now, we read this account, and we might say, well, it was the fault of that old prophet that lied to him. That's not true. It's not that old prophet's fault. Now, he did lie. But this man of God had the same problem that plagues so many people in our day. And one way we can look at it, it's the problem of discernment and a lack of discernment. Now, when you talk about discernment, discernment has to do with perception, how we perceive things and the insight we have on things. It's the ability, if you will, to determine, to understand, and to grasp things that might be just a little bit obscure. So you need to have discernment. It's important. We use it when we just try to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. You ought to be able to determine what's right and what's wrong. Look back in Hebrews chapter 5, all right? Hebrews chapter 5, if you will. This business of discernment's important, and we need it. It's not something you just blow off and say, well, it's not important. Well, it is important, all right? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says this, But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We need to be able to discern the difference between good and evil. We need to see it. We need to grasp it. We need to be able to make that discernment. What's right? What's wrong? What's good? What's bad? And we ought to look at it from that standpoint. We need to be careful about it. It's important that we be able to discern between what's good and bad. That's an important thing. It's important we're able to discern what's righteous and what's wicked. What's right and what's wrong. But a lot of people, they don't seem to be able to do that, all right? And we get in a mess because so many people seemingly have no ability to discern between good and bad, right and wrong, truth, righteousness, falsehood, you know. People can't grasp that. So we need to be able to have some discernment. So I want to speak to you tonight just a little bit on discernment, okay? First, you ought to be able to discern the truth. The truth. Look with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, this prophet had gone to appear before the king. He had the word of the Lord. God had told him what to do. And so he had gone there, but doing what he was supposed to do, having answered the Lord and done what God wanted him to do, but now he'd messed up because he listened to that old prophet, all right? He took that old prophet at his word. He had lost the ability to discern the truth. Notice what 1 Corinthians 2:14, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. Look, you can't discern the truth without some spiritual insight. The Bible said the natural man, we're talking about the lost man, fellas has never been saved, never been born again. That fella has trouble discerning what's true because he doesn't have any help in that insight, any spiritual insight. Now, eyesight is good. I really appreciate the eyesight that I have. But I want to tell you, if you were forced to choose, spiritual insight is better than eyesight. Much better, all right? Hey, you and I, most of us, we're not forced to choose. But you can have both, all right? You can't get it without the new birth. The Bible said the natural man can't have it. So if you're going to be able to discern the truth, you need to be born again. Born again. You say discern the truth how? About the Bible, first of all. Discern the truth about the Bible. There's a mixture. You go to a Bible bookstore, and man, there is a huge wall advertised as Bible. You ought to be able to discern, hey, which one is the real one? Now, the liberal will say, well, they all contain the Word of God. But it's not a matter of if they contain the Word of God. The question is, which one is the Word of God? You ought to be able to discern that. Hey, not only discern the truth, but why is that one? Why is that one? Look, we make no bones about it around here. We believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, plain and simple. We believe all the others are perversions of that truth. All the others, without a doubt. We stand that way. You say, well, why? You don't really want me to start in on that right now, do you? We'll be here a long time tonight, okay? Hey, but there's reasons. Those reasons are not, it was good enough for Grandma and Grandpa. No, the reasons have nothing to do with that. Reasons have nothing to do with that. I've heard people mock it, those that believe it, and say, well, I guess it was good enough for Paul. Well, how do you know that's not exactly what Paul had? He wrote this. He wrote it. Hey, we believe this is the Word of God. We believe there's reasons for that. You ought to have that. You ought to know those reasons. You say, preacher, I don't know them. Well, hey, I can point you to some places where you can find out, all right? But you ought to be able to defend that. We use the King James Bible for definite Bible reasons, not just an opinion, okay? Not just an opinion at all. When I was a kid, I can remember listening to Billy Graham on television. I'd tune him in and listen to him preach, and he would make offers. You know, if you'll write in, you can get this. Well, I wrote in. And man, I was a book lover. I'd take any book I could get free, all right? I think, if my memory serves me right, it was Living Letters or something like that, and a copy of the Living Bible that I got sent to me. And I may or may not still have that in the archive somewhere. But I remember getting it, looking at it, going through it, reading it some, and thinking, this ain't it. This ain't it, all right? Man, I was just a kid, but I knew it, all right? Hey, you need to know the truth about the Bible. Secondly, you need to know and be able to discern the truth when it comes to doctrine. Doctrine. Much so-called Bible teaching in our day is nothing more than false doctrine. You can find it. The problem in our day is it is so easy to find it. You can go online and find a multitude of folks who've got a slick presentation. In days gone by, 50 or so years ago, the only guy that was putting that out on TV before the internet was Dr. Gene Scott. He was spewing it forth, and I can remember watching some of that with him, And just an amazing thing. You need to be able to discern the truth, all right, when it comes to doctrine. You need to be able to do it. Said, how in the world can I? Take your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's no secret. You don't have to hide from the truth, you know. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will. Look at verse 15. That first word staggers us. Study. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. You need to get a hold of the word of God. You've got it. You need to study it. You need to study it. We push people. We encourage people. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Why? So you will be able to discern the truth. You know that book. You will discern when somebody's preaching something that's not the truth. You'll be amazed. I can't begin to tell you how many times one of my favorite illustrations is I was listening to Jimmy Swagger. He said, preacher, why did you listen to all those guys? Well, one, to get illustrations for sermons, all right? So I was listening to him, and he was going at it. And, of course, Jimmy Swagger doesn't believe in eternal security. He believes you can lose your salvation. And he was cutting it along there and preaching, and he quoted a verse, and I thought, wait a minute. He stopped. He cut it off right in the middle of the verse. And if he had used the rest of that verse testified to the truth of eternal security. But he didn't believe that, all right, so he cut it off. He just stopped. Hey, listen, that's why it's so important you learn to discern the truth. You learn to discern doctrine. You know something about the Word of God. Look, the more of the truth you know, the easier it is to spot falsehood. The more of the truth you've got a grasp of, the more you can spot falsehood. You say, well, preacher, how about what you're preaching? Fine. If it's not Bible, you let me know. You let me know. Hey, it needs to be the Word of God. That's what we preach. That's what we stand upon. And there it is. It's the Word of God. You need to be able to discern the truth. Discern the truth. Hey, first of all, what Bible is the Bible? And need to be able to discern the truth of doctrine, because doctrine's important. Don't listen to those clowns on Christian so-called television who say doctrine divides and love unites. Well, of course it does. That's why God gave us doctrine, so we could divide this thing right, okay? And know what to believe and where you stand. Hey, there's some parts of the Word of God that do not apply directly to you. They were not written to you, but they were written for you. You say, well, how am I going to know that? Study. Study. See what the Bible says, all right? Some parts of this book were written specifically to the Jew. We got some knuckleheads in the world of religion today trying to take the promises God gave to the Jew and say they've been transferred over to the church, and the church now has and stands in the place of the Israel. That is a lie out of hell. God's not done with them. God's not done. You need to be able to discern the truth. That's not all. Take your Bible to Matthew chapter 16, all right? Matthew chapter 16. This matter of discernment is important. Matthew 16, verse 3. The Bible said, in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? The signs of the times. We ought to be able to discern those things, all right? If you've got an understanding and a discernment of the signs of the times, it gives you an understanding of the day in which we live. We understand why things happen that do happen. Now, I would have to tell you, I am sometimes amazed at how quickly we have gone so far downhill. But I wasn't surprised it happened because the Bible said it will happen. It will happen. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves. Man are we ever. Well, it just goes on, and those scriptures are given. We can understand the day in which we live. We understand today is a day of great wickedness. Today is a day of great falling away, turning from the truth of the Word of God. Hey, wait a minute. I'm not just talking about yonder in the world. I'm talking about churches that profess the name of Christ. I'm talking about denominations absolutely turn their back on the truth of the Word of God. And you know, they would come at it and try to explain away the Scriptures and try to say, well, it doesn't mean what it says. Hey, we're in a mess. So why not surprise? God said it's going to get like that. God said it would be like that. Well, not to be surprised. Now, that doesn't mean we go and hide our head, okay? So what does it mean? Look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We ought to be able to discern the times, look around, know what's happening, know what's going on, and see it. And say, okay, Lord, you told us it's coming, all right? You told us that would happen. And it's happening just like you said. I see people, man, that, of course, when you get a new pope, everybody thinks the world has been created again, all right? Just the same old false doctrine, false thing that's there. You said, well, what does it do for you if you can discern the times? There in Romans 13, look in verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Hey, because we understand the times, man, it gives us great hope. We look around, we don't go into an anxiety attack. We look at it and we say it's the Word of God. And what that means is, hey, we need to lift up our eyes. The Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. And it's, you know, it's time to cast off the works of darkness. It's time to put on the armor of light. Let us, as verse 13, walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's what you do when you discern the times. You suit up, you get ready to serve the Lord, and you go forth with the light to this ungodly world. You cut out the foolishness and you begin to walk honestly. You're not party time already. It's not time for drinking and all of the wantonness and shame. It's time to put that aside, serve the Lord. Why? Because He's coming. He's coming. Boy, I mean, the day is just, Bible said, far spent. The night is at hand. Hey, I believe we're there in the night. The dawning's just around the corner. Hey, that's the thing for us to do. We need to discern those times. We need to be able to discern it. But maybe so important to us, maybe most important, look with me, if you will, in the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Man, you talk about what we need to be able to do in this day. This is it. We live in a day of wickedness. We live in a day where the devil and his minions are running wild. So there's some things we need to be able to discern. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hey, that prophet that came and prophesied against that altar, he shouldn't have believed every spirit. He shouldn't have believed. When that old prophet came to him and said, hey, I know what God told you, but what you don't know is what God told me. Now, let me just make it real plain. God's never told you, and He's never told me, anything that cancels out what He's already said. What He's already said. Nothing's been coming along. Everything, what He said here, you said, well, I got a word from God, and He told me if it's opposed to this, that wasn't God you got your word from. Now, it might have been a God of this world, but it wasn't God Jehovah, all right? Wasn't Him. The Lord doesn't operate that day. I mean, that young prophet, that man of God that came, should have looked at that old prophet and said, well, since God gave me the original word, if He wants to change His mind, He'll let me know. Same way He gave me the word. You need to be careful. You need to be able to discern the spirits, all right? Discern the spirits. Matthew 24:24 says there's many false Christs that have come. And there's going to be more. False Christs, false prophets would come. Folks, listen, they're good at deception. They're good at deception. We live in a day that maybe is more influenced by the visual than any other time that's ever been. And there is so much out there in the video world. And yep, I'm talking about the internet. I'm talking about YouTube. And probably a ton of other things, all right? They're out there that you can research and you can go and you can find all kinds of stuff. And let me say this to you. Just because somebody has got a real slick presentation, they've got some real good videographers, doesn't mean what they're spouting is truth. Doesn't mean that at all. I hesitate to name names because when you name names, what people do is, let's go see them. Now let's go see what they're saying. But there's plenty of them out there. There are folks out there telling us that, hey, the church is going to go through the first half of the tribulation period. Now, I'm of the opinion if, you know, God lets them, that'll be all right with me. But I want to go out at, when the trump sounds and that rapture, and I don't believe in a mid-trib rapture. I believe in a pre-trib rapture. We're going out of here before it starts, okay? But man, there's a ton of folks out there saying differently. You can listen. You can find Church of Christ people that I got into a... I saw one that just came up, and Church of Christ fellow telling why he couldn't be a Baptist and why he couldn't be a Methodist and all of those things. And the real reason, he's ignorant of the Word of God, okay? In some cases, he just doesn't know how to discern the truth of the Word of God. But you don't need to go listen to somebody like that and just get confused. You don't need to add to that kind of problem. You said, preacher, why did you listen to it? I didn't listen to much of it. I just want to see how he developed the argument. I saw the direction he was going, said, okay, that's enough for me. I'm gone. Hey, listen, there's too many out there. There's too much false doctrine. There's every spirit that claims to be of God is not of God. I happened to see this week... I wasn't looking for it. I just stumbled on it. But I saw some of their stuff from the old Brownsville revival that was in Pensacola, Florida area. And this one guy led it. I think his name was Brown and Rodney Howard Brown, something like that. And they showed, the picture showed these people going through all these gyrations. And I mean, they were dancing a jig and going around and around, you know, and around and around. And then finally they just fall out in the floor. And they were talking about what a great manifestation of the Spirit that was. You find me one place in the Word of God where the Word of God says that's what you do when you're filled with the Spirit. It's not there. Man, you cannot find it because it's not there. It's what people, now the folks, they were happy, big crowd, and they were cheering and clapping and watching. Well, I'll be honest, it would have been entertaining if you'd have been there. You could have definitely been entertained. But what was the Spirit doing? Man, the Bible says He's here to guide you into all truth, not to make you loopy. Not what He's for is not given for that. But it's out there. It's out there. Oh, that's God. That's His Spirit. You and I need to remember this. The devil has great power also. Devil has great power also. You remember when he took the Lord after the Lord spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting and the devil began to promise him things? Let me say this to you. The devil didn't promise anything he couldn't have delivered. He had great power. He had great power. But it's not of God. Not of God. You and I need to be able to discern those spirits. You need to be able to tell, hey, is this the Spirit of God? Hey, the Spirit of God doesn't cause you to be afraid. It's not given to scare the wits out of you. All right? No, God's Spirit given different reason totally. You say, well, preacher, all right, how in the world can we learn to discern the spirits, all right? Go with me to James chapter 1. And if you're familiar with the Bible, you probably say, I know what's coming. Well, good. Good. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Hey, you and I need to ask God for wisdom. There's few times that I pray that I do not ask God for wisdom. I need wisdom. You need wisdom. Wisdom will help you to have that discerning spirit that you need. Be able to discern the spirits. God will give that to you, but you need to ask Him for it. Ask Him for it. Now, I've already said study your Bible, okay? Do I need to say it again? Study your Bible. Get in that book, learn that book, but then you ask God to give you wisdom. Ask Him to just give you what you need that you'd be able to hang on to it and you'd be able to discern those things that need discerning. You wouldn't just get taken in. You wouldn't just get drawn in and said, well, that's it. Look, if you will, in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 with me. This business of discernment, so important, that we can discern the truth, that we can discern the times in which we live, and we can discern the Spirit. Now notice what the Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now drop down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now why is that so? That is true in an earthly way, with a shepherd who has his sheep. They do know his voice. I've heard about exercises, if you will, where there's a whole bunch of sheep, actually several flocks of sheep mixed in together, and they're eating. And you think, how in the world is ever shepherd going to get his sheep? Well, all he has to do is speak to them. Speak to them. They recognize their shepherd's voice, and they follow their shepherd. The Bible said, a stranger will they not follow. See, the problem with so many of God's people, we don't know the voice of God. We don't know the voice of God. Look back, if you will, in the book of 1 Samuel. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you would. Here's our problem, all right? We get into trouble right here. 1 Samuel chapter 3, look if you will, verse 2. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou calledst me." And he said, "I call not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose, went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son, lie down again." Here it is. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So what's wrong? Hey, Samuel, he didn't yet know to discern the voice of God. When he heard the voice calling, he thought it's Eli. So he got up, went to Eli, and Eli said, "Didn't call you." Lay back down. And if you don't know how that story comes out, read it when you go home, all right? Finish it off. But hey, here's the problem. Here's the problem with so many of God's people. We've yet to learn to recognize the voice of God. We don't have that relationship with Him that we need. We need to spend more time getting well acquainted with the shepherd, getting well acquainted with the Spirit of God, so that we recognize the true one when we hear Him. Just be able to hear Him and know, that's Him. That's Him. You ladies, I've seen ladies gathered together in a meeting. Their children are in another room and a kid begins to cry. And one mom goes, "That's mine. I'll go check on him." I'm listening and think, man, one bellerin' child sounds like another bellerin' child to me, you know. But man, they can discern that voice. They know it. "That's mine. I'll go get him. Go check on him." Hey, we need to be able to discern the voice of God. We need a relationship with Him. You need to spend some time developing that relationship. You're here tonight and you're married. Hopefully you spent some time developing a relationship. You spent some time. You didn't just go to some spot where people were available and say, "You want to marry me?" "Yeah, you do. You will. All right, let's get married." That's guaranteed not to work. All right? You talk about a mess. Well, wait a minute. So you got married. You developed that relationship and you got married and you said, "Thank God we don't have to work on that anymore." Okay, trouble's coming. Trouble's coming. You can't just forget it and say, "I'm done with that." No, you still have to work to maintain that relationship and maybe even improve it. Maybe some of you can testify and say, "Boy, we went through some rocky times in the early days of the marriage." But you stuck it out. You worked on it. You repaired it. Hey, but we worked on that relationship. We need to work on that relationship with our God. We need to do that. We need to have the discernment about ourselves to be able to understand when the Spirit of God moves us. When the Spirit of God speaks to us. Hey, the more you know Him, and the more you've been with Him, and the more you've heard the right and the true, the easier it is to recognize. If I'm sure you've heard it, but if you've been taught to spot counterfeit money, what is done is you're taught to be real familiar with the real thing. And then when you lay hands on some that's counterfeit, you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference. I've mentioned before, we've had counterfeit money be given in the church offering before. So whichever one of you's running off, all right, you need to be careful about it, all right? But now it's been a good while now, and I'll never forget when we found out, I got to handle that bill, man, I could tell the difference. You could tell the difference in the way it felt. I've handled a lot of money. It's usually going through my hands, you know, not staying here. But, hey, you discern the truth. Listen, you as a child of God, that man of God that spake against the altar should have had better discernment. Should have had better discernment. He ought to have been able to discern the spirits, but he listened to the wrong one. You don't have to do that in life, all right? Build your relationship with God. You'll hear him speak. Now, here's another thing. When he speaks, listen. Listen. Some of us are not good because when we know he's speaking, we push him away. We push him away. I'll never forget hearing Jim Vineyard preach a sermon. And he was preaching, and he was talking about an experience he had where he met these folks that needed a tire, and he bought them a tire, and he took them in and fed them a meal, and he witnessed to them, and they got saved. And when at the table, the man asked him, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Because my father told me to." And he said, "Before I left, God spoke to me again, said, 'How much money you got left in your pocket?'" Brother Vineyard named the amount, you know, in it. He knew how much he had, and God said, "Okay, I want it all. You give it to him." Hey, there's sometimes we don't want to listen because we don't want to do what God said. When you push him away, you miss the word of God. You miss God dealing with you. You miss another opportunity to refine your ability to be able to discern the spirit. When God speaks, listen. Do what he says. Don't say, "Now, Lord, what's this going to cost me?" Doesn't matter what it's going to cost you. The title of the message Brother Vineyard preached was, "And Thou Shalt Be Blessed." Well, if you and I had learned to listen to God, we'd get the blessing of God. Just do what he says. You know, go where he says. Speak up when he says speak up. Talk to folks when he says talk to folks. Give you this experience. I've told it before. It's been a while. One of the great regrets in my life, and I believe I'll meet it at the judgment seat of Christ. I was in the library at Tarrant County Junior College. I was a student there, and there was a fella in there with me that was in my class, and we were, I guess, I won't say we were friends, but we were friendly, okay? We knew each other. He was a little bit older. He had already been in service, come through Vietnam. And the Lord spoke to me that day to witness to him, and I did not do it. I believe I will meet that at the judgment seat of Christ. If Herb Spellings never got saved, his blood's on my hands. His blood's on my hands. That right there causes me to just pause and to stagger at the thought of that. If I'm on one day look in the face of Herb, he's going to look at me and said, "Why didn't you tell me?" And I got no defense. Boy, learn to discern the spirits. I didn't think it was the devil telling me to witness. I knew it was the Lord. Hey, listen, you and I have a responsibility. We need discernment. You need to be able to discern the truth. You need to be able to discern the times. You need to be able to discern the spirits. But that's going to make you to have to exercise, all right? Not physical exercise, but mental and spiritual exercise. You need to do that. What a challenge. How about you? Where are you in that? Can you discern, hey, do you know when's right and wrong? Can you tell it? Can you see it? Can you discern that which is wicked or that which is righteous? Can you tell it? Oh, man, you need to be able to talk to him. You need to get on your knees and ask God, "Give me wisdom." You need to spend some time studying this book. You just need to get after it. Why? Because the day is far spent. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, tonight to help us. Lord, impress upon us the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, help us to see that we have a great need for discernment.